This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour of the show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for your tailgate now. Saturday's going to be gorgeous. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, lots of snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Frank Bodani at the bottom of the hour. And I was out there today, and before the show, I was cutting my lawn. And, of course, there's nothing but blue skies here today. We have fog this morning, but blue skies right now. My neighbor, Jim Hopi, who's one of the great guys on the face of the earth, looks over at me, and he points up to the sky, and I go, "Who would have thought? It's about time." It's about time. Ugh.
I think it's the first day since last Wednesday that I looked outside and it wasn't dark and rainy.
I know. I mean, even last night, I mean, it had rained some during the day, but even last night, it was like, oh, man, it still felt like it was an old book that Claire B. wrote years ago. Dark, dank, and dismal. That's the way it felt.
That probably describes about the last 6 days, too.
Yeah. It's amazing. Now, look, we don't have it anywhere near as bad as North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee. What we have is zero compared to what they're going through. I mean, it's just awful. So I don't, we have to keep that in mind, perspective. But, geez. It's been quite the run here. So I've got 75% of it done. Did all right. Yeah. Well, I'll take 10 minutes or so and finish up the rest. We'll be good. Not bad.
I was thinking before I came in when I went to get the mail that once the sun hits my yard till I get to it, it'll probably be up to my ankles.
Yeah. So your Mets are playing tonight. Third and deciding game with Milwaukee. Jose Quintana against Tobias Myers. Tonight,
I'm going to take a little bit of solace in the fact that I've never heard of the Brewers pitcher, so hopefully that helps.
He's 9-6 this year. ERA at 3, struck out 127. Not bad.
No.
I mean, this is going to be his 26th start. It's not like he doesn't go a long way. Okay? He's got 138 innings pitched. So, I mean, he can get to the fifth, sixth inning. Gave up 18 home runs. Nice, for the most part, pretty good 3-1 strikeout to walk ratio, 127-36. Not bad. Your guy, Quintana, you never know what you're going to get.
I was just going to say he could come out and throw a one hitter or he could last an inning.
Yeah. 31 starts. 170 innings, 150 hits, that's really good. But he's only a 2-1 strikeout to walk guy. 135-63. In other words, you don't know. Now, he did pitch against the Brewers back on the 28th, last Saturday. And he went 4 1/3. And he did fine. 5 hits, 2 runs. But the Mets lost 6-0.
That opening game is the first time they beat the Brewers all year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm kind of rooting for the Mets to win in the sense that it would be fun to trash talk my brother for a week when the Mets, if the Mets, and the, you know, for the Mets and the Phillies, but.
Yeah. Man. Boy. So, yeah. That'll be tonight at 7 o'clock. This game was actually going to be, if the Braves had won last night, this game would have been at 3. But when the Padres won and ended the series, the game got moved to 7, which had always been the contingency.
Also, the first time since 2016, I think, or 2015, that the Astros haven't been to the ALCS.
Oh, what a bummer.
I know. Go Tigers.
Yeah, they have the Yankees next, right?
No, it's the Royals and the Yankees. It's the Tigers Royals and the Guardians.
Ooh, Tigers may win that series. And then, I mean, the Royals will play the Yankees, and the Royals have the best player in Bobby Witt. Somebody sitting in his COG office right now doing a slow burn. Wonder who that might be.
I was waiting for the phone to blink. It's not.
You are wrong, Steve Jones. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr. did something Aaron Judge has never done yesterday. He had a big hit. All right, so he's got more big hits in one playoff game than the other one has in how many playoff games? All right, so you never know. This could be his breakout A-Rod moment, Barry Bonds moment. Never know. Give a guy enough chances. Go from there.
When you say A-Rod moment, I was hoping he didn't mean that he was building them, making himself into a centaur.
No, I was talking about the 2009 postseason, where I thought the 2009 postseason he was really good. And all the other postseasons, like, eh, whatever, eh. Yeah. And then what, the Bucks and Falcons are tonight on Prime. Texas State and Troy are on ESPN2 tonight. Sam Houston and UTEP are on CBS Sports. Then nobody knows what conference they're playing in, but they're playing games. Kidding. And the Celtics and the Nuggets are playing in Dubai. Really? Wow. That's terrific. Ooh, all right. And Penn State basketball picks 17th. Now that would mean they would not, at 17, they would not make the Big Ten tournament. There's only 15 are going.
We talk about how that means nothing.
Yes, it does. You know. It means absolutely nothing. That's one of the great myths. Again, I always talk about there's so many myths in sports. Okay? So, first of all, the pollsters who do this are asked to do it, so they decide to participate, they do it. And they fulfill the obligation of doing it. Okay. And I completely get where they're coming from. I mean, they're just trying to do the best they can based on who's returning, maybe on who's you know, who's in a recruiting class, maybe a transfer, whatever. And it's all guesswork. For example, I mean, I have, now, when it comes to voting the 1 through 10 players, I'm one of the voters for that. And for example, Harper, the Rutgers freshman's one of the 10. I will tell you I did not vote for him, and here's the reason why. I don't vote for freshmen on the preseason. I've never seen the kid play a game in his life. I didn't see him play an AAU game. I never saw him play a high school game. I didn't, you know. and obviously I didn't play in college. How am I supposed to vote on a guy I've never seen before? TV, anything. I've never seen him. So, you know, I looked at it and thought, geez, you know, I know everybody says he's really good, but, I mean, I can't consciously vote for him. I'd be totally guessing. Now, as for where everybody places, well, let's get into that. Everybody's doing it on roster looks, and it's blind. And how many practices have they gone to? Did they go see everybody in all 18 schools in practice? No. So nobody knows how things are blending. Nobody knows how things are coming together. What some unheralded freshmen may look like, how a transfer actually is a great fit, or maybe is not a great fit. You don't know. When I was speaking to a group in Camp Hill in August, somebody brought up that somebody had done a poll and said that Penn State was 18th. Okay. You know what my two-word answer was? Who cares? I could care less if they're picked 17th. I could care less if they're picked 18th. I don't care. I got a season in front of me. Let's see how many games they do when that plays out. Here's one that like people don't look at. I'm going to tell you, they don't look at this. Who are your home and aways, and who are your one plays, and where are the one plays? For all we know, a team has a home and away with Michigan State, and their one play is a home game with is an away game with Minnesota. Minnesota's picked 18th. Well, how am I supposed to look at that? Everybody has different home and aways. Everybody has a different sequencing of one plays. How do you, you know, you're supposed to do 1 through 18 as people finish. How do you do that? Because you have to look at the sequence. Who do you play twice? Who do you play once, and where do you play them? I'm just explaining the logic behind it. I'm not explaining or complaining about where they're picked because I don't care where they're picked. I'm saying that's how inexact this is. It's just really inexact.
Yeah, just I mean my thought was just take away not seeing practice and all that stuff. I don't know how you watch the back half of the second half of that Penn State team last year and see that they have everybody back and then automatically pencil them in for 17th or 18th.
Right. I mean, look, and it's amazing that Kanye Clary leaves in the middle of the season. They got better. You just don't know what chemistry happens when you add somebody in or you subtract somebody. You don't know. Meanwhile, there was some news out of it because Tony Petitti met with the media today. He confirmed that he and SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey will meet next week in Nashville. They're going to discuss issues including a possible scheduling partnership in multiple sports like football, men's basketball, women's basketball. But the big part is going to be the demand to get 4 automatic bids for each conference in the college football playoff. That's the reality of it. Sankey, meanwhile, did say, when asked about a super conference, said the idea of a college football commissioner, he says, I've studied it quite a bit. I've come back that I don't want to dumb down the Southeastern Conference to be a part of some super league notion with 70 teams that some people speculate would happen. They want to be us. And that's on them to figure it out. It's not for me to bring myself back to Earth. I agree with them. I totally agree with them. I wouldn't want to be in that spot. Why would I want to be in that spot? Right? My league's thriving. It's up to you to be better. The SEC, right? I've been saying this for a long time now. When you're sitting there, do you have the right 16 schools? The Big Ten, do you have the right 18 schools? And in my opinion, across the board, the answer to the SEC is yes, and the answer in the Big Ten is yes. Everybody else is scrambling. Those two conferences aren't scrambling. They're thriving. They're not scrambling. Everybody else is. The ACC's trying to somehow keep Florida State and Clemson, whatever, who have, by the way, overvalued their value. The Pac-12 is just taking what's left. The Big 12 just did what it could to survive. Meanwhile, the SEC and the Big 10 are thriving. They've got the brands everybody wants. They don't need to bring themselves back. Why should they bring themselves back? Because it's, quote, good for the game? I gotta sit there and worry about that. I mean, next weekend, gotta worry about this weekend first, but next weekend, the Big Ten has a doubleheader. They've got Penn State and USC at 3:30. They've got Ohio State, Oregon at night. Well, this is the kind of day the Big Ten was dreaming of when they did expansion. What doubleheader does the ACC put out that you sit back and go, that's must-watch TV? What doubleheader does the Big 12 put out where you go, hey, that's must-watch, both games, must-watch TV? None. None. Which games? What's your doubleheader in the ACC? Florida State plays Clemson and Pitt plays Georgia Tech? Are you sitting down and calling that appointment TV?
It's got to have SMU in it for me.
You renegade. You renegade. There you are. Goodness gracious. I'm not surprised you would go with that organization.
I did like that, you know, that was the school that FSU pointed out in the lawsuit, and then they beat FSU this week.
Yeah, of course. Boy. It hasn't been the season Florida State had dreamed of. Okay.
I don't think they had a nightmare about this bad of a season.
No. No. I think somebody put out something. I know there are a lot of Notre Dame fans out there, but you know darn well that Notre Dame is one of those you love them or hate them, right? And they've earned that over decades. Florida State's done that in 6 months. All right, back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Great to have you with us. Baseball playoffs are coming up for the Phillies. Find out more after the Mets Brewers tonight as to what's going on. Maybe whomever's doing the game put Jason Kelce on. Oh, don't want to do that. Again, that was another ESPN thing. They put him on Monday Night Football for the Eagles-Falcons game?
Yes.
Like, what are you doing? Last year, Prime put him on, and he was still an active player, and he was on with Kirk and Al on Thursday night. I thought he did a great job. But then ESPN put him on for the Falcons-Eagles game? No offense, I thought he was bad. Like, really? What's he adding here? He's not adding anything, right? Nothing. Yeah, I realize he's a Philadelphia icon, but again, when he was on the Prime video game last year with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, I thought he did a great job. I thought, boy, this guy's got a real future in it. Then I heard him on the Falcons-Eagles game where they had him up there for the third quarter. I was like, he needs some work.
You know as well as I do, there's a big difference between sitting at the desk and doing the studio show and being live in the booth.
No, a gigantic difference.
Yes.
Right, and one's way more fun. Way more.
Look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour. Half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 to 15, Elmo's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. So important in your buying experience because they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. Great service department. Inspections, routine, difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online, sunburymotors.com. The outstanding Frank Bodani, York Daily Record with us. Frank, always a pleasure. Welcome.
Hey, Steve, how are you today? Hopefully well, right?
Doing great. At least the sun's out.
I tell you what, what's it going to be like for Penn State players, tailgaters, and everyone else to go to a home game with no clouds, no rain?
It would almost be a shock. All right, so
yes.
Month into this thing, what are your general thoughts on this team after now seeing the body of work?
Well, you know what? Offensive. Well, I guess overall, it's pretty much in line with what I kind of figured, and I'll say it. I'll explain it this way: is that new coordinators everywhere, offense changing. It's going to take time. It's going to be, you know, I'm thinking incremental positivity here from one week to the next. And I think we're seeing that offensively, a little more of the playbook each week, involving and leaning on different parts of the game each week, getting a little more comfortable and confident, say, like on the offensive line. I think that's going, Drew Aller, that's all going through four games at least. As you might think. Defensively, I really wondered a little bit about how they would kind of show out last week. Very physical opponent, a really good team that protects the football. And defensively, they did that to me. And I think, but you know, the good part to me is that both sides of the football still ways to go. They haven't played their best game yet. I'm convinced of that. If they can just clean up or figure out, whatever you want to call it, some issues on special teams, penalties, I think you're headed in the right direction.
Right. The usage of Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen as not just running backs, because Singleton has two 100-yard rushing games, Allen's got a couple, but their usage as receivers, what has that meant to opening up the offense?
Oh, I think that it's huge, and we've heard about that for a couple of years, but never. I mean, we saw a little more of that at the end of last year, but we just haven't gotten it yet. And now you're getting it everywhere, and I think it makes it so much harder to defend, because those guys with the ball in their hands, no matter how they get it, are dangerous. Not just for breaking away 70-yard runs, but for the punishment they give to defenders. I mean, it gets to the point where you almost can see guys wonder if they want to tackle them, you know, three-quarters of the way through a game. So that's huge. I mean, Nick's play where he depletes the defensive lineman and then runs through the second defender, I mean, that symbolizes everything we're talking about here, right? I mean, what that can do, that energizes, to me, the offensive line, the whole team, the stadium, on a simple little flip pass.
Well, and what's interesting about that is it shows to me the ability to be a complete running back, that you can throw that block, then make the catch, and then start bowling through people.
Yeah, it reminded me a little of Saquon Barkley, in a sense that wasn't the easiest catch in the world. I mean, he had to reach up for it, so he's doing three things at one time. And I know it's not the same, but I'm just like, you know, I think quite a bit about Saquon at Iowa in 2017 and all the things he did there. The best single individual performance I still will say that I witnessed in person. And that play reminded me of that elite ability, like you just mentioned, to do three, four excellent things at one time.
Right. The offensive line, they had to show off, because of circumstances, some depth. Are you starting to see a semblance of cohesion with the offensive line through the opening month?
Yeah, and I think you wondered maybe when that would happen, because they lost three starters to the NFL. So while all these guys played except for Cooper Cousins, they weren't starters together last year. I mean, you got new starters together. So I think they're coming along pretty well. And James Franklin said he challenged his lines leading up to the Illinois game. And I'm thinking, you know, challenging them maybe for physicality purposes. Because we have been waiting. I think Penn State fans have been waiting to see not just maybe a technically sound, cohesive line, but one that exerts its physicality on the opponent. And I think in some ways you may have seen that more against Illinois than I can remember against a quality opponent. So, huge positive going forward.
We know Abdul Carter moved from linebacker to defensive end. Against Illinois, he was able to get multiple tackles for losses, 2.5 sacks. Are you starting to see a comfort level with him, and also how Tom Allen is using him in situations?
Absolutely, and I think James has said, you know, the best is yet to come. I mean, I think that's the simplest, most effective way to describe Abdul Carter, because he's had to learn so much in one respect, because he's changing positions, and maybe people probably don't understand that it's not just, you know, lining up at one defensive end position, it's being able then to play the other side. And he has the skills, but the versatility to do so much that you can't give him it all on his plate at one time, I don't think, right? So I think we're seeing him getting fed more and more, and to the point where, hey, it showed on Saturday finally that his best thing is being able to move around the field, right? Because that way the defense is so worried about him that they can't account for everybody else beside him. I think there were plays where they were so worried about him last week that, like, Zane Durant is then unblocked. He's not blocked the way he should be, because you have to account for 11 everywhere. And if you don't put him the same place, good luck doing that.
Quarterbacks hate to have pressure but they really hate that pressure up the middle and in their face. What have you seen in the development of Zane Durant?
Well, I mean, you know, since he got here, you heard about his, not just his tenacity, but his elite physical skills for his body type, because he wasn't the biggest guy at that position coming in, but that combination of strength and quickness, and just now he's experienced, right? And he's bigger, and he's stronger, and I think finally he's being able to not just take on and occupy blockers. He's starting to become kind of unblockable at times,
yeah,
coming up the middle, and it's huge because how many teams, even top Power 4 teams, have a guy up front that can get that kind of pressure? Now, he talked about doing it earlier in the game, right? So he's being tough on himself. That's the next step, right? But I think it's big because that whole line is experienced. Those defensive tackles have so much experience, but to have an explosive guy there combined with, you know, the Abdul Carter and such, I mean, it's big going forward for them. Yeah.
In the opening game of the season, Jalen Reed was unbelievable, played incredibly mm-hmm. well.
Yep.
When you have talked to or listened to coaches and talked to players or listened to players, what has his mind and his feel for the game meant to putting this team into the right positions?
Well, yeah, I think you hear a lot about how he's one of the football-smartest players that some of these guys have worked with, and he just, meaning that I think he just understands the nuances of the game. It comes to him. He knows where to be. He knows where others should be around him. And he can anticipate things. He can be places quicker because of that knowledge, that understanding that just mm-hmm. comes to him better, right? So I think him playing the lion position is really what they want him to do, because that gives him freedom. It brings him up close, closer to the line. And that's where he's most effective. But the problem, you know, the hard part with KJ Winston being hurt and out
right.
is that, you know, it's hard for him to be able to do that when you're breaking in new guys in the back. So as long as you keep him healthy, I think they work through this. Great. It'll be great to see Dejon Lane, how he progresses, how quickly at safety too.
Which then brings us to the other part, and you mentioned Winston being out. It was a game against Illinois, for example, where Wormley got poked in the eye, Nelson got poked in the eye. What have you thought about this team's depth to this stage of the season?
Well, it's huge, and I thought depth is what would make them special this year, but they've had to lean on their depth more and more quickly than I think you would have thought and maybe you'd like, because we still got 8 games to go. It's impressive. It stepped forward like you thought it could and should. I mean, Cooper Cousins appears to be such an outlier for a true freshman lineman that he's able to step in and do what he is so effectively. How unusual that is. So, hey, you know, if he's there, you use him. And, I mean, that's something they haven't had in years past, an offensive lineman that can not just play as a true freshman, but I think be really good as a true freshman. I don't know how many teams have that. So that's big right now, and just trying to keep guys healthy against UCLA would be, I think, one of the biggest hopes for this weekend.
Yeah, this now becomes – the expansion part now becomes real. UCLA – that obviously going to the Coliseum playing USC, then Washington comes in here on November 9th for the whiteout game. Now it feels like the expansion is real. How do you, probably going to be a better question at the end of this season, might be a better question during the off season. But what have you thought just about the impact of all this?
Well, I mean, I think it, on the surface, it's good because it diversifies your schedule and gives you more anticipation for games. It's nothing against the regular teams in the Big Ten, but instead of playing, say, Indiana next week. Penn State's got to go to USC. I mean, that's like feels like a bowl game. Feels like the once in a while they may have did that in the non-conference, but not very often. And I think there's more excitement there. I mean, how it works realistically and feasibly for some of these teams. I mean, you kind of would feel bad for UCLA in a sense. I mean, they got to travel. They're having a tough start to the year. They got to travel 3,000 miles and then play a game on Saturday that is going to feel like they're kicking off at 9 a.m. So right. I don't think that's really what the ideal situation is necessarily, but I think overall, I mean, I'm going to say overall, it's a positive, and I think it's just simply, Steve, the nature of college football. It wasn't, you're not going to keep like this from happening. So you got to deal with it the best way possible.
Well, for the Big Ten, the dream for them is going to be what comes up with Penn State playing at USC in an afternoon game at 3:35. Oh, and then Ohio State in the back end of the doubleheaders playing at Oregon.
Right.
That night. I mean, for Tony Petitti, now, he's not the architect of this, but as the commissioner, it's the kind of day you dream about.
Oh, absolutely. And I think if for him it is, I think for TV, I mean, imagine, I can't imagine how many people will be watching just those two games. I mean, that's incredible. That is feels like you're in the postseason in a way already. It's going to take a while to get used to it, I think, for fans. It's good, and it's a great test for Penn State, for example, for this team, because now all of a sudden you got a game before a bye that I think will test you and show you on multiple levels where you are, who you are. And you don't always get that even in week five or six. You will now.
I do have to ask you about Drew Aller to this point, and then the mix of Bo Prabula. I mean, you being from York.
Yeah.
So what's been your thought on the two quarterbacks at this point, starting with Drew?
I think Drew's – I mean, the thing that stands out to me the most, he looks more comfortable so far. And, I mean, his running ability is – that's like night and day. I mean, that's huge. He's not just going down the field picking up yards, but extending plays, looking like he feels good about getting outside the pocket. I mean, that's another thing that defenses did not really have to worry about last year, and now they do. You know, but it's steps for him to me. So, I think he might throw the ball a little more this week, considering the opponent situation in last week, but we're still got to see, and this is good. I think it's gone in steps, so we still got to see him in a big environment that's really maybe hard or tough in the second half where he's pushed in the offense, and I think we'll see that next week. So that's, we're right on schedule here. Andy Kotelnik, he's not doing an easy thing, right? Trying to work in a backup quarterback like Bo is not necessarily the easiest thing in the world, right? Because you're throwing Tyler Warren in there, right? So now you only, in a sense, you sometimes have three you're using, and you don't want to get Drew out of his rhythm by taking him out of that position for plays here and there. But I think so far it's worked. I mean, Bo is such an athlete that, even I think when teams know he's going to run the ball or think he is, look how hard it is still to tackle him, to get him down on the ground.
And look, he throws the ball way better than people realize. The other part, too, is you cannot make this work unless you have two guys that have the right attitude about it. And in particular, Bo seems to have a great attitude about it.
Absolutely. Well, that's him, and that's his family, and that's respected, and lifelong Penn State fan. I mean, how it ultimately works, I guess we kind of have to wait, and like a couple things we talked about today, we kind of have to wait and see. I mean, Drew is making progress as a passer, I believe. So, I think so far, I don't think you're going to see Bo come in there and run a whole series or anything. I mean, it's just a play here and there to keep defenses guessing. And look how much defenses down the road have to prepare for now. Look at just what they've used. I mean, who is more impressed with Tyler Warren than what he's done in the first half of the year?
Well, I was about to bring that up as the last question here, and that's the Tyler Warren part. James Franklin has been vocal, outspoken about that he thinks this is the best tight end in the country because he's an all-around tight end. Your thoughts on watching Tyler Warren to this point?
Yeah, you know, I almost thought that it might be hard for Penn State to get, say, like a Mackey Award-winning tight end because they don't rely on one guy like that enough. And then the other thing is Penn State usually has two and three tight ends that they throw the ball to, so one of them isn't going to get 60 catches a year. But Tyler Warren has gone around that. He's circled around that because he does everything. I mean, when's the last time when have you seen a tight end line up as a wildcat and throw the ball? Like, for anybody?
Never. Never.
Right. And the more he keeps being effective, he's got to be the best all-round tight end, right? Because simply, I don't think there's anyone else who does those things. And he can certainly catch and block. So, yeah, I'll go with James on that. Not hyperbole. It's got to be true at the moment.
Frank, always a pleasure. Always. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate all the time we talk and today as well.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you Saturday, and all the best, Steve.
Thank you. The outstanding Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Always great to have him on the show today. All right. This half hour brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, now that's what I went with. The buying experience, tremendous. They had the product lines I was looking for. They had the deal I was looking for. They had the financing I was looking for. Treated top shelf all the way through. They'll be even better with you. Kia Hyundai, that's the new inventory that they have. Great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. And they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. It really eases the buying experience at a great service department, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Get ready for a weekend of fun, food, and fantastic finds at the Juniata Christian School Benefit Auction on October 4th and 5th at Lost Creek Community Park in McAllisterville, PA. Find delicious barbecue chicken, baked goods, apple ciders, specialty coffee stands, and more at our food trucks and park stands. Don't miss a single bid in our live and silent auctions, and let the kids enjoy a day filled with carnival games and surprises. Save the dates for the Juniata Christian School Benefit Auction, October 4th and 5th. Visit our Facebook page for all the details, or jcslions.com.